Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Critically acclaimed R&B star has found himself caught up in hardcore porn, lawsuits, and a strategically delayed trial. This is Surviving R. Kelly. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Cool trial. Guys, wherever you're watching from, I hope you're doing as Keisha says, Kesha, and that you're somewhere praying because...
Amen.
This was a lot.
It was a lot.
So much to take in.
Very intense.
I felt like I needed to pray after watching.
Like, we might need to have a moment of silence just, like, for prayer for the victims, for R. Kelly. Okay, well...
Society as a whole, or at least our culture.
Right? The good news is we have a full panel today.
Yes.
I'm so excited to get into the topics. I'm glad to be joining you guys again. I'm Elena.
What's up, everybody? Keith Andre here.
Hey, Robin with the V.
And Tyler here. Happy to join you guys.
You guys, I don't know how we're really going to navigate the day two of the docuseries just because episode 3 and 4 hardly focused on just the sex tape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the porn of it, which gets a little difficult because we all have sisters and nieces and cousins and friends who have daughters and goddaughters and all this stuff. So just before we dive into it, what was kind of like, how did you feel walking away from 3 and 4?
For me, it's weird because obviously when it happened, I was a lot younger, but I did feel a sense of guilt because I do remember seeing that tape. I do. I remember it being a buzz in school. We were in high school. I think it was like 9th grade. And I remember getting my hands on that tape, going back home, sticking it in the VCR. And I was just like...
How'd you get your hands on the tape?
I don't even know.
As a child, well, how did you find it?
What happens is... In high school, I was always the one with a videotape, so I recorded all the fights at school.
Ooh.
So I had the plug, always. And everybody, it was just, once you watched it, they passed it to the next person. And it eventually got to me. And that was something, I feel guilty now as a grown woman. Mm-hmm. Obviously, then I was younger, but I was just like, we knew. We all knew, but here I am stepping in the name of love.
Right.
And all, you know, so okay. it just made me feel weird. And I sang I Believe I Can Fly. I sang that song. I sang it good, too. And all my family members wanted me to sing it when we went out. The church wanted me to sing it. So it just gave a very eerie feeling after watching those two episodes for me, personally. Yeah.
I feel like we got a lot more background on the tape and we got to see how it kind of got to where everyone's now seeing it. It's different now because the internet is here and it's just, right. Once it's there, it can be shared God knows where.
Right.
So, I mean, it started on tape and then I'm sure DVDs and then now the internet has it.
I don't think it ever made it to DVD, really.
Yeah, you don't think so?
I think it skipped by DVD because by the time it's on the internet,
That was just it. Let's kind of backtrack here. So we go from being introduced to R. Kelly, kind of getting his backstory, seeing the things that he's gone through as a child and how he was on the verge of stardom.
The feel-good moment.
You know, the feel-good moment. He's starting to hang around his old high school. Mm-hmm. There's rumors at this point from what we have that he's with these young girls. But now we move into 3 and 4 where he transitions from all these rumors to actually paying off families and young victims and being caught red-handed in a situation with a minor. And I think if it wasn't for the Chicago Sun-Times, we wouldn't really have any hardcore facts. We wouldn't even know that there were a plethora of lawsuits.
Lawsuits, right.
Like, their research has really exposed that. So, I mean, and if I'm being honest, when watching it, you know, the Chicago Times are telling us how they're going into it and they're researching it. And I'm like, I don't know what they're going to find. Because at this point, I'm developing as the docuseries is going also.
Right.
Like,
right.
I still have my own opinion. I still do feel like he's very much so guilty. But when it comes to like, oh, he's completely like mm-hmm. red-handed. I'm like, mm-hmm. Where is it? Like, if he is raping all these girls or just sleeping with minors, whatever the case may be, he's victimizing young girls. Somebody and their parents are coming forward. Right. Where are they?
Right. Agreed.
Yeah, I think they were definitely the catalyst in like giving it the real kind of world exposure it needed, because I do feel leaving one and two, you just felt like, oh, there's claims or there's rumors or right. this is a Black community issue. And then when you walk away from three and four, it's just like, wow, you get to see this whole case kind of unfold. Similar to, I know it's clearly different, but just like, you know, O.J. Simpson, how you kind of get these feelings when you're watching something mm-hmm. before your eyes. Now, of course, it's years later. We didn't see it in real time, but right. that's really how I felt about right. walking away from it.
Being revealed in a way in which we had no access to at the time mm-hmm. and seeing it in a different light. In the Chicago Times, I feel like they cared enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they cared enough because it almost felt like that community in Chicago really held him on a pedestal, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even despite everything they knew and or heard. And the Chicago Times was like, we're gonna pull the curtain out.
Yeah.
And it still didn't help that much, mm-hmm. but it definitely, you know, brought light to it.
And I was just gonna say, just thankfully, I mean, well, there was something to show for it, right? It wasn't just the Chicago Sun-Times developing a story about right. R. Kelly. We had to get to, like, actually have something physically to right. to view.
Well, but once they published that first article after doing the research for the lawsuits, mm-hmm. they reported having tons of girls call in and say, I yeah. have my own story. So, like, that, they kind of opened the door for other victims to kind of mm-hmm. use their voice or to come forward. I think what hurts about it is it's not that women weren't coming forward. And even though society may not have been on the victim sides at that time, it is refreshing that the Chicago Times were. But the part that hurt me the most was them doing the research and then finding that there were 5-6-figure dollar settlements mm-hmm. that had been given to these families who were filing lawsuits. So we don't really know how many women there were. Right, right. We don't know how many people tried to come forward. We don't even know what they endured. We don't know what the youngest girl is that he's ever been. Like, we don't mm-hmm. know what that is because they've been paid off in hush money.
Right.
Or he've had them sign NDAs yes. and whatever the case may be. And it's just like, that's, you are suppressing a community of women who then go on to develop other type of problems from that situation.
Traumatic right. experience.
Come on.
And then out of the people that came forward, they even said, even out of those that came forward, they still didn't come forward 100%. It was only a certain amount of them that a lot of them was like, well, I don't want them to know all of this. I don't want them to know all of that. I don't want them to expose my name. And so you have to think about the ones who did get the hush money and think of the power that R. Kelly got in hushing someone who could really use that money. Think of the position that a lot of these families were in, because in a lot of those families weren't wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So think of, I feel it very sad when you can put a price on the well-being of your child.
Yeah.
That is the sadder part of it all, I think, because there's no amount of money you could pay me. Yeah. Sorry.
And everybody does have their... I'm sorry. I'm going to let you go, but I was just going to say, because it's not, we can't really judge. I can't really judge, you know, the reasons behind it. People settle out of court every day for various reasons. So I don't want to just say that, like, oh, if your family is one that settled, or if you made the decision to settle, then that means, like, you didn't do right.
Right, but I do feel that those families, there's a lot of those families that didn't come forward again. Right. So I feel that says something even in itself.
And, okay, So that point is going to come back up, because that kind of was an underlying theme for episodes 3 and 4 when it comes to the money. We saw it come up with different people. But talking about the victims and how they didn't want that much to be out there, even though they still were coming forward, we're introduced to Lisa Van Allen, mm-hmm. who was R. Kelly's girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. She was, I believe, 17?
Yes.
She was pretty young,
if I'm correct. Yes. She was 17 when they got together, and... you know, they had their thing, but man, the drama.
Yeah.
The stuff she started unfolding, and I'm with her 100% and in support of her, but a part of me felt when she was telling her story, like, how could you? So she's talking about her story. She's talking about her relationship with R. Kelly. She's talking about how he forced her, made her have threesomes with younger girls. She's also a minor at this point.
Absolutely.
Even though in Chicago, 17 is of age.
Yes.
I learned that from this show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Same. I never knew that. When I read that part, and I was like,
huh?
Mm-hmm. I was like, in what world?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So she's still a minor of sexual consent age, according to Chicago, having threesome with who she thought was a 16-year-old at the time. So this was the story that kind of made me feel like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Because in her mind, she's thinking, oh, she's just a year younger than me.
Right.
And she's young herself. So she's like, oh, she's 16. Like, she's probably turning 17 this year or something like that. Like, there's no... I mean, when I think someone that's 1 year younger than me, I think we're the same age.
Yeah.
I think we're in the same bracket. We can be on the same page. But I mean, I suppose it's a little different when you're talking about under, 18.
But I think it was that, and it was just mm-hmm. the fact that she was already caught up in not wanting to go against him and that whole psychological cycle that she had been in for a while at that point. It's like, whether the girl was 12 or whether she was 14, like, she was going to have sex with her,
and they
regardless.
Were both equally drinking the Kool-Aid. So it's no telling where they were mentally.
I sat here, and after I said what I said about her knowing better, I had a thought. When we were kids, we have cousins or siblings who may be 2 or 3 years older than us. Mm-hmm. And when we were kids, it seemed like they were so far much older, or like the age gap was so much different. Like, I have big cousins or people who were elder than me, and I'm like light years away. But as I got older, I was like, no, we were the same age. So I could understand how at the time it could have been like, oh, 16, we're in the same age bracket. Oh, 14, that's a whole different world.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then I go back to the tape, because as I mentioned, I saw that tape. And in this episode, I was like, oh my gosh, that's her on the tape that I saw. And the 14-year-old. So they're both on this tape.
Mm-hmm. So you could see the... I've never seen the clip. Did anyone else see the tape?
I didn't see the whole tape.
I saw the tape, and one looks like a grown woman, body-wise.
Body-wise.
And the other one looks... like, way younger than me. You know, at the time, I was in ninth grade, and her body just didn't even look developed.
Wow.
Like, it just didn't look developed. Mm-hmm. And I won't get into details, but that's how I literally looked, and I said, this is a whole child.
From you being able to see the video, did you know that was R. Kelly in the video?
Yeah.
You can clearly...
And it wasn't a clear video. It was VHS. Uh-huh. It was a little shaky, but you can tell that was him. Yeah. You can tell. Even with the part when he tried to blame it on his little brother and said it was his little brother and all these things. It was just like, oh, it was a double. It was him. And it was just like, the person operating in that video lives there. And you can tell. They're very comfortable with the atmosphere.
And at one point, someone in another room shouts his name. They're like, they said Kells or something.
Kells, you got to get on the line. Someone's on the line or something like that.
And he was like, I vaguely remember that. It's like, that's you. We know that's you. Yeah.
So before we get to the trial, we have Lisa who's given us the backstory of how she had to have threesomes, and then she found out that the girl was 14, not 16. And apparently R. Kelly loved to videotape himself, mm-hmm. as any millennial today would. We always have our phone. We're always trying to document.
That was long before his time,
but he was onto something, clearly. He should have channeled the energy somewhere else. He's in love with videotaping himself, which naturally, as a predator, you would also want to record your sexual encounters because as the psychologist said on the show, it's like that trophy. Right. Mm-hmm. It's that trophy kind of thing. And I get it. I'm not a predator, but I have to make that clear. But I know the feeling of taking a good video, in my opinion, what would be a good video, and then watching it back and reliving those emotions. Like, oh my gosh, I had so much fun.
You gotta champion mm-hmm. yourself.
You know
right?
what I mean?
You're like, yeah, look at me.
So to know that he did that same thing with child porn.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude.
And he knew it was wrong because we heard from the tour manager. He said that R. Kelly tapes. Came to him and yeah. he was like, dude, yeah. I can't stop. I can't stop recording myself. So he knew that it wasn't right.
He also said to his tour managers, like, if these tapes get out, they're going to destroy us.
Right. Exactly.
Like, they're going to destroy me.
But us. Mm. So imagine I feed you. I keep food on your table.
Yeah.
Us. If you're not trying to go down, then you need to protect me to protect us.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Because everyone looks at the team, right? Like, the team is responsible, too, for helping him cover it
oh,
up.
Definitely. But it's
like,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're looking at it completely different.
They're the most guilty. And separating Lisa from being the victim and her being in that situation at the moment, she made a decision to save herself when she stole the tape and it started to get rumored that the tape was going to be leaked. It wasn't like mm-hmm. she stole the tape. She wasn't in the mindset of saying, dang, we're on this tape. Let me not have this tape go out, whatever the case may be. It's more so like, yeah, he's a predator. Yeah, he victimizes us. But I don't want my face to be seen.
But she gave it to someone.
Another artist.
To hold mm-hmm. to keep.
Because as a victim, her mindset is anybody but him, maybe I could be safe with. She probably trusted whoever this other artist was.
Yeah.
The one who ended up trying to...
Yeah, because they didn't give us any information.
They didn't give us any
artist,
information
how close
on
they were or anything.
Nope.
And I think, too, for her, it was probably like that layer of, I'm still just removed from this. Like,
right.
Oh, I'm in, even though she's in the video with him and a minor, but it's still like, if I can say, if my face isn't in here, there's still a way for me to not be attached to this mess.
So much respect to her, though, reliving the story and being able to sit in front of a camera for the docuseries mm-hmm. and say, I had sex with a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That me saying that, I have no affiliation to the situation, and that just, like, that brought a lot out of me.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to say.
So, you know, regardless of the decision she made or didn't make, I totally respect and appreciate her today mm-hmm. for being able to not walk around what she did, not say, he made me, I only did yeah. it, because granted, that may be the case, but she still sat there and said
and owned up and, took accountability
and owned it. Yeah,
right.
That's
and to
huge
be that brave, because and it also is telling you, I mean, so many times we hear things that sound oof. That outlandish mm-hmm. and our initial reaction is to like cancel this person or be disgusted, but when put in context it stands, you know what I mean, to hear like, oh, I was 17 and 16. But I think it takes a lot, but that type of strength and bravery was needed to like get the exposure
right
to kind of go on. But I mean, it's crazy because you went from this age group to the next, and we'll talk about that in the next hour.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yes. Keith and I did this thing last episode where we kind of took the temperature of where we stood on how much of the docuseries we believed and how much we didn't. Now, there was a story that came out that Lisa Van Allen only stole the tape to extort R. Kelly for money. And not because she didn't want it to be seen. She tried to use the tape against him. I kind of want to know, how do y'all feel about that? Like, do you think she stole the tape and took the tape out of his bag to save herself? Or was it like, I could use this to, like, have one up on you?
It seems, I don't think she would do that. Because it seems like all the people that were, like, his victims were truly afraid. And I don't think they would do anything, or else I feel like they could have left and not come back and done things like that. But she was going back after that. Yeah. Secondly, it appeared to me that she took the tape because she was upset that she saw that he had been having sexual encounters with the 14-year-old without her.
But she didn't see that until she took the tape.
Right. Well, she watched the tape.
Right, but she's saying I had to have a reason to take the tape before I could see.
Did she watch the tape before she took the tape?
She did. Oh, I thought she watched the tape and then she saw that and then she took it.
Okay, I thought she just saw herself.
I don't remember if she watched the tape then took the tape or took the tape then watched the tape.
Whichever it was, she wanted to watch it. So whether she took it so that she could be in a safer place to watch it and not get caught.
Right.
So you believe her.
It was once that she saw that there was separate acts. She thought this was a thing they did together. And on that tape, which is the one I saw, I didn't see them together. It wasn't a threesome. That tape was something separate with her, and then later it goes into the one with him and the 14.
And like, she said that she fast-forwarded and saw that.
Right. I don't remember which one came first, but it appeared that she was hurt. Mm-hmm. That it's so strange.
No, but that makes so much sense. The reason I'm trying to like figure out the timeline of it, because if she did watch the tape, then take the tape, it's like, okay, I was for it when it was us, but for me to fast forward and see this, now I'm going to take it because I'm pissed. So I totally get that. But then it changes things if she took the tape and didn't know that she would see this separate encounter with Jay. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't think she knew what she was going to find on the tape specifically.
What happened was he left the tape alone in a room with her.
In a bag with some other tapes.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And while he was gone, she watched the tape. So she didn't like vocally say that she was pissed or anything like that, that it was a separate account.
But it was a tone.
Her tone definitely changed.
It's so strange because you have these women and they were like, I was forced to do this. But there is a choice in being forced to, in a sense. But when you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, your mind is scrambled. Mm-hmm. So even though she was in that position, for her to be like, no, this was our thing. It was really his thing. This was all him. Everything that was done was what he wanted to be done.
Right.
But I feel like she was so used to it that she was like, okay, this is what I know.
It's the brainwashing.
We're going to do it together. Definitely. We're going to engage together with her. And I think she goes, well, yeah, I didn't know he, then I saw him with her by themselves. I was not there. And when she says that, it's almost a self-realization of a shock. It's a shock within a shock within a shock.
Like she didn't matter. Like, it didn't matter if I was present or not present. He still was going to do what he wanted to do with
like
her.
Like, that was a shock for her.
Which makes sense because we have to remember they were, like, in a relationship. I mean, in her mind it was more of, I'm in a relationship. He doesn't do this with somebody else. But to check in on, like, the temperature, I mean, I can see an argument for both because, especially if you add that layer of...
But where do you stand?
Pick a side, right?
Pick a side.
You know what? I'm going to go... I don't think that she was trying to extort for money. I don't want to say a character, but there is a story later I will tell you of a person I think like, this kind of went a different way.
Ooh, that's questionable.
That's for 5 and 6. But there was one where I was like, okay, maybe this was set up differently. But I believe, I don't think she was trying to extort.
What made me believe her, for me to give my check-in, I do not believe she was trying to take the money. And the reason I don't believe it is because if she was... When rumor came out to the Chicago Times that someone may have had video, she wouldn't have told him, hey, I stole this video. We need to try to get it back because I'm on that video.
Right.
If she wanted money for it, she would have been like, I got a copy of the video.
Right. She saw what he was dishing out to those, to the person. Yeah. She was like, oh, you know, I would easily be like, okay, well, I kind of got that. But
that choice, though, also, and I mean, If you have anyone that have experienced something like this, maybe you can help me with the understanding of it. The choice to call R. Kelly and say, I have this video, we should get the video back, you know, we don't need the video to get out. She could have chose a different route and really ended him.
Yeah, but she didn't. And I think it goes back to fear.
Yeah.
And... Sorry. No. I agree with you. I don't think that she did it to extort him, because if she did, she would have went ahead and released the video or took it to TMZ or whomever when she got it. But she didn't. She gave it to someone else and told them to hold it. So I feel like you said, she would have went a completely different route if that's what she wanted to do. But she didn't.
Yeah, I definitely think it was the like a fear factor. Just like growing up, if you get a bad report, there's nothing worse than your parents knowing. I think in this extreme, it's like the only thing worse is for him to find out, or for the world to see who he is.
Right. And ultimately, you gotta remember, she loved him.
Yeah.
She loved him.
And you know,
they all loved him.
You know what I also have to remember? So Lisa has, she's very strong. And her essence, her strength just eludes. We don't know how much therapy or what kind of healing it took for her to be in front of the camera to say, I had sex with a 14-year-old compared to her mentality then. Like, though she's strong right now and she's doing all of that, that does not mean she had that same mindset where she could have easily been like, this is a four. Like, she knew that having sex with the 14-year-old was wrong, and she was obviously upset about it and was like, this crosses a line. Mm-hmm. But there's development. She's grown. She's a full, you know, developed into the woman that she was. Exactly. So we also have to remember that the decisions at the time, she made the best decision that she could for herself.
All of them.
Yeah. Which gets a little crazy. So we're introduced back to Sparkle. So I bring up Lisa's strength because Sparkle also has this strength. Mm-hmm. But she also has a different reality in these two episodes because she watches the tape also and notices that the little girl, the 14-year-old, has the same hairstyle that her niece just got for her 14th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she knew immediately that was her niece.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Because she had already introduced the two of them.
Just like any one of you would notice one of your family members, and if you would be able to point them out if that was them. Mm-hmm. You know that that's them, you know? And then to have to see them in that light, I cannot fathom.
This was the second heartbreaking story for me because through the trial, so the video is now out. Someone put out a copy, like, jumping through the whole lie detector test with Lisa and whoever she gave the tape to, R. Kelly, to make sure that there's no other copies. Obviously, the guy lied. He failed the test, which also is very crazy that he made them both take a lie detector test.
Right.
Who gave you that idea?
But is it crazy, though?
It's not crazy, but it's just like, just damn.
For him, I'm like, that makes sense.
You go through all these extreme levels. So the tape's out there. They're going to file child pornography charges against you. 21 counts of that. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. He's the hush money king, baby. You had to take it to new levels and heights.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's a control freak. He wants to know everything. He needs to have his hand in pretty much everything. He had to know.
He's a predator.
Yeah.
So they're on trial. And the Sparkle and her niece and their family broke me to the core.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because you now have evidence of this man. Even, I don't even know what to call it because it's not just simple hardcore porn. It's not simply child pornography. It's not simply rape. Like, it's so much more than that because it's tied to so many different girls. Again, there I go.
Getting emotional. I feel you.
It's so frustrating.
It is.
So there, you have him on trial. You have the opportunity to put him away. Then, before the family even breaks and it's all of these things, you have the trial that's delayed for years.
Years and years.
That enters you directly into the mind of R. Kelly. And the fact that he had the power to delay it.
How? I still don't even understand how it was delayed for 8 years.
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, I didn't even know that they had the power to do that. It's for the defendant, right? The defendant has the power to delay it and delay it.
I think he's considered the defendant, right, in this case?
Yeah.
Because
he has to defend himself.
Mm-hmm. Which worked in his favor, obviously.
But the thing is, I don't think that just happened. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
He didn't want a little girl on the stand in front of the jury to make him look worse. He needed her to grow a little more. He needed time to maybe work on them and communicate with them and talk to them. Because what was he really good at doing? He was good at coaching the women, the girls. He was good at, you know, teaching them how to speak and deal with certain questions like he did with Aaliyah. So he needed that time to butter up himself to make him look better.
Yeah.
And it obviously works because who knows what kind of conversations he had with Sparkle's brother and sister-in-law.
And they explained it. They said, I guess the defendant also has the right to a speedy trial. So you can get it sped up if that's what you want to do. But like you said, he chose not to purposely.
The 14-year-old that was in Sparkle's niece went from being 14 to 22 by the time.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. The trial so happened. Quick.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Yep.
How? That pissed me off. So that was one of the things that like really pissed me off, because you have this man. I don't care what the defendant wants. You do not appease the fact that he wants it to go slower or to delay it. No, that's not happening.
Yeah.
You have a child. No, that's not happening.
Yep.
And I hate to think like this, but I can't help but to feel that if these were white girls, right? And it was still R. Kelly or a black man. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would have gotten squashed. I don't think that would have been allowed, or the parents would have made sure that that didn't happen. But the parents in this situation, it seems like they weren't trying to put R. Kelly
for this away. Early trial. The parents were just not non-existent. Yeah. You have to ask yourself with that the kids, hurt. Where were their parents? How did you allow your teenage daughter to go, you know, to how did you allow R. Kelly to even have access to her?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
It seemed like there were two different ways. Like, either the child was interested in becoming a star.
She was a rapper, right?
She was a rapper, singing, some sort of entertainer. Or they were just a super fan. I know one girl, I can't remember her name because there were so many, but she said that she had a single mom. Her mom was always working. So when her mom was working, that's when she would go spend time. So that's some Geronda. Of the parents...
She's coming up in the next two episodes.
Yeah. So some parents just didn't know. They had no idea until it was too late. So yeah, some of them shouldn't have let that happen, but then others just didn't know.
But in this case, I feel like the parents may not have known in the beginning. But I feel like once they found out, there was like a talk amongst them that something got communicated that we're going to just sit this one out. And I don't want to judge them, because in their mind, it might have been for the betterment of the little girl.
Yeah, because I was they want say, her to grow up normal. We still don't know the reason behind it, but we know that nobody is saying who the niece is.
Yeah, we still don't know who she is.
And that's how protected she's been. Yeah, so. And imagine had... the opposite occurred, we'd all know her name. We'd all know where she is, what she's been doing.
Especially because at the trial, not only did you have people wanting to put him away, you kind of, it was zero representation almost of people saying, lock R. Kelly up. It was more so of he's innocent. Right. Y'all trying to lock victim up another shaming. Black. Yeah, y'all trying to lock up another black man.
Right.
These girls wanted it. So as a parent, I also would understand protecting, you know, that sense of it.
Right.
But don't send your family to the trial. Just don't do it. Or have that conversation with Sparkle. Like, there's a way to talk about it with your family and it's in the whole family without the mess that it was at the trial.
Right.
Her brother got on the stand
and said, that's not my niece.
That's not my daughter.
Oh, my niece. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not her. Mm-hmm. What?
That hurt.
Yep. Yeah.
You have the aunt saying that's for sure my niece. And then her brother saying that's for sure not my, like.
Yeah. It's a mess.
That had to have been so frustrating for Sparkle, especially she had the weight on her shoulders of feeling that it was her fault. And she put her niece in that position. I can't even imagine how hard that was to deal with. And she said she didn't talk to her family for 10 whole years.
Right.
Over this.
Yeah. I mean, but imagine if your family is going head to head where you believe this and you believe this and we both aren't backing down. So we're both telling our quote unquote truths. Yeah. But
we don't know if they didn't believe it or if, because what we understand is R. Kelly and the niece developed a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She could very well still be with him.
There was, so I forget which part of the series I was watching, but we thought that they had no more relationship.
At one point.
Until Lisa was like, we had the threesome with the 14-year-old girl. I know this 14-year-old girl found out, and what's her name? Javonte said, this is the same 14-year-old that...
She said, that was my baby.
That was my baby. So she made us understand that we thought R. Kelly was done with Sparkle's niece, but she's in fact the one that he peed on.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep.
And then even if you're going to protect her, that's fine. I totally understand that. Take the money if that's the option. Also, if we're going to protect you, we're going to take the money too, because now to We already broke, and we
we're gonna have to use that money for the years and years of counseling and therapy. Exactly. That we're gonna put you through.
However, there is a way to punish him for all the other women, because you know that you're not the only minor,
right?
So instead of just letting him walk away with it, and then what makes it worse is right after the trial, the Miami incident shows up where he's what?
Yep. He can't get it. He couldn't get enough.
I can't help but think that if he would have, if the family, Sparkle's family would have said, yes, that's her, none of what happened after that would have happened, because R. Kelly would have been put away.
So many people would have been saved.
Yeah.
And then you also have Sparkle niece's friend.
Yeah.
Who's fighting for, I'm fighting for you. I know that that's you. I know what happened to you. I know who you were. I know who you've become.
And the coach.
And the coach. I'm fighting for you. Do you know how heartbreaking it is for us to finally have the opportunity to lock this animal away? And no? Like, you won't even...
I'm not 100% convinced that if the family would have come forward, if he wouldn't have gotten off. Because... as you see, they asked one of the jurors, and he's like, yeah, I just didn't believe none of them.
Yeah.
I didn't believe them.
He said because they were black girls. He said because of how they looked and how
they dressed. Right. And that's how a lot of black women, females, are perceived.
See each other. That's how we're perceived. That's how we're taught to see each other. Mm-hmm. Like, so even when we're watching it, we're watching, like, what's your mannerisms like? Let me see if I can believe you.
She seemed like she was out there. She
probably
seemed was fast.
Like she was fast. Exactly.
And it's so sad. It's
disgusting. Yeah. And that's when we hold ourselves accountable. Like, we need to start looking in the mirror and figuring out, because he's not the, R. Kelly's not the only one.
No.
Ooh, Chile. Can we get into some news and gossip,
some
guys?
Church fans.
Are you ready for that? Well, Keith, what is it? What's the story?
Ooh, Chile.
It only gets worse. It only gets worse because we hear from
Jada Pinkett Smith
about R. Kelly's record sales going
up.
The streaming.
Streams going up. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on.
Yep.
How can we watch 1, 2, 3, and 4 parts and then the next response is he makes more money?
That makes no sense to me.
Well, I was going to say, and everyone's been talking about the fact that the songs are telling us everything we need to know, so everyone wants to go back and listen to these songs, which is causing listens to go up, which is causing money to go up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's anything we can really do about that.
We cannot listen.
We can listen for free on YouTube.
Right. But it's like, I mean, we can be upset that it's happening, but people are still going to do it. One, people think it's funny still. It's a joke.
We allowed it to be funny. Dave Chappelle and Boondocks. You know, we allowed it to be funny.
Right.
I could see wiggle room like after 3 and 4, but I feel like after watching 5 and 6, like I know like my responsibility is to be like completely mute R. Kelly.
We have a quick video from Jada Pinkett Smith where you can find on her Instagram at Jada Pinkett Smith. Just to get more into the details, see the comments and get into the conversation of why is his records going up? I guess we want to rehear it. But as we mentioned earlier, like the songs, even though we're watching the documentary and we might be against it, the songs have been playing in my head.
They give me chills.
I'm not listening to them. I'm not streaming them. I know them by heart. Like that's how much of his music I was into.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh, Chile.
Yeah. Miss Smith, Mrs. Smith.
We're going to get into parts 5 and 6 soon. But until then, you guys know where to find us.
Yes.
Is this Jada talking about like the whole video?
Spiked substantially since the release of
she's just
Savannah
so confused
R. Kelly
about
docuseries.
It.
And I'm having a really difficult time understanding why.
You and I think she knows. I think she's just kind of trying to.
I really would like for you guys to help me understand what I'm missing, even if I'm missing something that I don't necessarily agree with. I just want to understand what I'm missing. So if you could sound off below. That'd be great. And we can continue the conversation Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on our Facebook Live.
I love that.
And I
that
really don't want to believe that it's
she's using her platform.
Black girls don't matter enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to believe that it's because that black girls don't matter.
So let me know.
I love that she's using her platform. I love that she spoke up about watching it with her daughter and having real conversation about it because it is a societal thing.
Yes.
It is
very much is.
Outside of the trial and everything else, we all played a part in it also, mm-hmm. with not believing it could be him. Mm-hmm. For, you know what I mean? For sure.
And everybody is in a super, well, whether they're super fans or not, everyone doesn't know all their lyrics by heart like you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I do think them trying to listen to the songs and they're like, wait, what? Because my mind's telling me no.
But what?
But my body.
Ooh, child.
When I hear that now, you know what you're doing is wrong. Your mind is telling you no because you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Why would your mind be telling you no if you're just an adult doing adult things with another adult? Unless you were just trying to play hard to get with another adult. But we know that that's not the case now when we listen to that.
It gets really, really hard.
But for real, like Elena said, y'all should just do it on YouTube.
Yeah, stop streaming the music. We'll get more into this conversation for day three, the final two episodes of Surviving R. Kelly. Until then, you can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
You can find me all over social media at @Keith_Andre.
Robin with the V signing out. You can find me at B Stays Busy. Make sure you guys have your tissue boxes for the next one.
And you can find me at Tyler S. McKinney on Instagram and Tyler McKinney on YouTube.
We'll see you guys soon.
Later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.